I'll be reading from Ephesians chapter 5, again our third and final week looking at this passage, reflecting on marriage, verses 21 through 33. And last week, if you were here, we kind of leaned into the husband's call to love their wives as Christ loved the church, to be the first one to lay down his life. The whole idea of the husband being the head perhaps is a little different than, I think, but what Paul is teaching is a little different than what many in our culture and perhaps in our churches believe. And so one fellow after the sermon last week said, "Now, we're expecting fair and balanced next week, so you give it to those ladies, all right?" I did invite my wife to give the message this morning, if she would like, to talk about wives submitting to their husbands. I was fully prepared to lay down my life and let her take the lead on that one, so she declined. A little tricky as a man to stand up and talk about these things. Please follow along. And again, it's important, and particularly today, we'll see how important it is to understand that this passage on the relationship between husbands and wives really is connected, really begins in verse 21. And so please follow along as I read out loud. "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." God's word to us, and as we talk about marriage again, I just remind you of the opportunity in a couple of weeks, the weekend of February 20 through 22. The Beckmans are going. I think there's another couple or two that's considering it, going to a brief weekend marriage conference, a weekend to remember. And so perhaps that would be something you'd be interested in doing. Let's pray as we come to God's Word. Draw us nearer, 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 blessed Lord. Draw us near to yourself as we draw near to these scriptures. Draw us near in our relationships, particularly in this mysterious, wonderful relationship we know as marriage. And so draw near, Lord, through your Spirit now. Come close and give us ears to hear. Give us eyes to see. Give us hearts that are open, responsive to your voice, speaking through the voice of Scripture, the pages of Scripture, and speaking, Lord, we pray, through this human voice. And so guide us now in all truth, we pray. Amen. Wives, submit to your husbands, the Scripture says. The S word we're going to talk about today, submit. It's become somewhat of a dirty word in our culture. This language of wives submitting to their husbands is not what we would call very politically correct. This is not the kind of thing that has a lot of currency in our culture. It conjures up images that many find offensive and outdated. The language of wives submitting to their husband implies to some that women are second-class citizens, or wives are second-class citizens. They are somehow inferior or to be subservient to their husbands. that wives and women are weak and somehow undeserving of a voice in family decision making and the like. This kind of thinking comes to us from our culture. It comes to us handed down, perhaps, many of us. This was the kind of family you grew up in or the kind of community you may have grown up in. I've talked with my mother about growing up in Smith Island, Tylerton, a small community. And there were ways that the wife related to the husband. A number of years ago, I came across something, I don't know if this was actually true, from Housekeeping Monthly, but this is a little blurb from a magazine, The Good Wife's Guide. Have dinner ready, plan ahead, even the night before, to have a delicious meal ready, on time for his return. This is a way of letting him know that you have been thinking about him and are concerned about his needs. Most men are hungry when they come home, and the prospect of a good meal is part of the warm welcome needed. Greet him with a warm smile and show sincerity in your desire to please him. Listen to him. You may have a dozen important things to tell him, but the moment of his arrival is not the time. Let him talk first. Remember, his topics of conversation are more important than yours. This is supposedly from 1955, May 13, 1955, issue of this magazine. Your goal, try to make sure your home was a place of peace, order, and tranquility where your husband can renew himself in body and spirit. Don't complain if he's late home for dinner or even if he stays out all night. Count this as minor compared to what he might have gone through that day. Arrange his pillow and offer to take off his shoes. Speak in a low, soothing, and pleasant voice. Don't ask him questions about his actions or question his judgment or integrity. Remember, he is the master of the house, and as such will always exercise his will with fairness and truthfulness. You have no right to question him. And then the last one, a good wife always knows her place. Some of you grew up in this home, didn't you? And remember, perhaps your grandparents. And so this language of wives submitting to their husbands, in our world today, in our society today, this image, we laugh at this, but many would find this kind of language very, very offensive. The sad reality is that in our society, women are often treated differently. There is a glass ceiling, you know, we talk about that, a glass ceiling in the workplace. There are double standards, expectations upon women who might work outside the home are also expected inside the home to care for the children and prepare the meals. And so there's a sense of double standard that is true. As I mentioned last week, this passage often is cited to justify attitudes that are not helpful to women. But yes, the Bible does say that the husband is the head of the wife. We talked about that last week. And the scripture does say here that wives are to submit to their husbands. The key, though, we know to understanding all Bible passages is to keep it in context, right? The three rules of Bible study and Bible interpretation: context, context, context. And so where does this passage begin? Okay, if you've got the Bibles out, look at it. Where have I been suggesting for these last 3 weeks that this passage begins? Does it begin in verse 22 with wives submit to your husbands? Where does it begin? Verse 21. Submit yourselves to one another out of reverence for Christ. What we might call mutual submission. All of God's people, men and women, are called to a life of mutual submission, submitting themselves to one another out of reverence for Christ. And so this is the motive, this is the reason that Paul gives for our mutual submission one to another. And so the context for verse 22, which calls wives to submit to their husbands, the context is verse 21, which calls for a mutual submission. But verse 21 talks about reverence for Christ. And so verse 21 is rooted in the whole letter of Ephesians. And of course, as we've been studying for months, we know that Ephesians is about what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Chapters 1 to 3 of Ephesians. God's gracious call, His choosing us, His blessing us, His raising us, His restoring us, His reconciling us through Jesus Christ. And so Christ is central. It's that relationship. And chapters 4 through 6, as we've been talking for some number of weeks now, is how we respond to that grace of God in Jesus Christ. And so this call for wives to submit to their husbands is set in the context not only of verse 21, a call to mutual submission, but a call to a larger reality, a relationship with Jesus Christ. How we as God's people are called to live into this grace that has been shown to us through Christ. And so everything we have been reading about husbands and wives in this passage presupposes, has a foundation of a relationship with Jesus Christ, that God has called and chosen and reconciled and raised each of us as husbands and wives. That there is a power at work within us, the power of God's Spirit. There is a life and a wholeness. And so the call for wives to submit to their husbands is set in a larger context of those who have come to know God through Jesus Christ, who have given their lives to Him, who have that power at work within, those who are committed to honoring the Lord, and so are committed to honoring and serving one another in a pattern of mutual submission. What is one of the most basic struggles that happens between a husband and wife? Is it not the challenge to sort out who's in charge? Who's the boss? Who's going to run the show? Who's going to call the shots? That struggle that happens between man and woman, between husband and wife, that happens in really all of our relationships, but certainly plays out in the husband-wife relationship. So why do you think men like this passage? This is our trump card. Bow. Submit. In that battle of wills, in that battle for control, for who's going to be in charge, men have Ephesians 5 in their back pocket, and they can slam that on the table at any time. I trumped it. I'm the head of the house. Wife, you are to submit to me. Of course, we all know that women have their ways. You remember the scene from Big Fat Greek Wedding, My Big Fat Greek Wedding, where the daughter is complaining about the father who always is saying, he's the head of the house, he's the head of the house. And so the mother says, yes, Tula, the husband is the head of the house, but the wife is the neck that turns that head wherever. And so wives have their ways, don't they? Wives have their ways. Wives, let me say something clearly. You are not the boss in your marriage. Wives, you are not the boss. You're not in charge. But wives, let me tell you another thing. Neither is your husband. Who's in charge in the marriage? Is it the wife? Is it the husband? Who's in charge? Jesus Christ. Submit yourselves to one another out of reverence for Christ. You see, until we get clear on this, we cannot understand Paul's radical teaching on marriage. That it is not the husband who runs the show, it is not the wife who runs the show, it is Jesus Christ who runs the show. And so it's our reverence for Christ that calls us to submit to one another. And so wives are called to submit to their husbands as to the Lord. Husbands are called to love their wives as Christ loved the church. Do you see that it's all about Jesus? Out of reverence for Christ. Out of reverence for Christ. You see, the primary challenge and problem in our marriages is not that wives don't live in submission to their husbands. It is that together, husbands and wives do not live in submission to Jesus Christ. That's the problem I have in my marriage. That I don't live in a relationship of submission to Jesus Christ. And so, with all of that as background, now let's talk about wives submitting to their husbands, okay? Christopher West, a Roman Catholic theologian, writes in his book, A Theology of the Body, he translates this verse this way. He talks about or interprets it this way. Wives, put yourself under the mission of your husband. That's the way he takes the word submission. Sub means putting oneself under. Put yourself under the mission of your husband. And I think, from my understanding of the Greek words that is spoken of, that's an accurate and meaningful translation and interpretation of that word submission. To voluntarily place oneself under the mission, under the purposes, under the goal of another. That is what the word means, as Paul uses it here in the original language. And so, wives, put yourself under the mission of your husband. And so the wife is called to embrace the mission of her husband, to embrace his purposes, his plans, the priorities of her husband. But remind me, men, what is your mission? What is your mission from this passage? Somebody, please. What is it? What is the mission of the husband? To love your wives as Christ loved the church. And so wives are called to put themselves under that mission, to embrace that mission. Okay, you have to work with me here. Paul is saying, wives, allow your husbands to love you. Allow your husbands to serve you. Are you following me? The mission of the husband is to love the wife as Christ loved the church. Wives, embrace that mission. Allow your husband to lay down his life for you. Receive your husband's love, his commitment to honor you, to bless you, to bring out the best in you. Live into that purpose that your husband has been given by God. The husband's purpose to present the wife mature and whole and radiant. We just read it right here, didn't we? Wives, embrace that mission in your life. Is this the way the world thinks about submission? Is this the way we in the church have thought about this passage? And so, do you see how radical this is? Who gets the better end of the deal in the submission thing? Who is it? Who wins? It's the wife. Wives, embrace the mission of your husband. Let him love you. Do you see how Paul, how the gospel, how Christ flips things on its head? Because the world is patriarchal. The world wants to put women down. And so what God comes through Jesus Christ, and he flips the world upside down. And this passage is doing that. And so that's why we started last week with understanding the mission of the husband. We have to start there. And so wives are called to live towards their husbands the way the church lives towards Jesus Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands. Embrace that mission of your husband the same way the church embraces the mission of Jesus Christ. And so if you want to understand the call of the wife in submission, we have to understand what the church's role is in relationship to Jesus Christ. Does the church demand the love of Jesus? Do we nag Jesus for his love? Does the church anxiously worry about if he loves me? Does the church slavishly try to earn the love of Jesus? Is that how the church relates to its Lord? Is the church worried about keeping all kinds of rules and regulations so that Jesus will love us better and more? I don't think so. Wives, submit to your husbands the way the church submits to Jesus Christ. How does the church embrace Jesus Christ? Let me offer a way of remembering this. Three R's, and it's not reading, writing, arithmetic. Receive, respect, and respond. The primary posture of the church towards Jesus Christ is open hands. We receive. We receive the gift of Jesus, the gift of life, the gift of salvation. We receive his mercy. We receive his grace. We don't grasp, we don't demand, we receive gratefully, joyfully, humbly. And so this is the posture of the wife towards the husband. Receive your husband's love. Receive his efforts, his kindness. receive what your husband brings to you. And then there is respect that the church has for Jesus Christ. The church is attentive to the words of Jesus. And so we study the scriptures. We listen to the words of our Lord. We appreciate and honor the sacrifice our Lord has made for us. We honor the name of our Lord and His character and His person. So wives are called to respect their husbands. Be attentive to the words of your husbands. Honor the sacrifices your husband makes at work and in other ways. Honor the character and name and person of your husband without sighing, without eye rolling, without tongue clucking. For we, the church, respect Jesus and honor Jesus that way. And then finally, the church is called to respond. This is what we've been talking about for these last number of weeks, to live a life in a manner worthy of the calling we've received. We as Christians are called to respond to Jesus Christ. His actions, His mission, His purpose towards us calls forth a response. And so wives are called to respond to their husband's love and service and leadership, to lean into, to try to do the things that bless and honor and care for the husband, to live into the husband's efforts to love and to lead and to serve the wife and the family. Does the husband always get it right? No. But that doesn't keep us as wives, does not keep wives from leaning into, responding. And so submission, the submission of the wife, I offer to you, is to be patterned on the way of the church, receiving, respecting, responding. And to that, may I add a fourth R. It's where the rubber hits the road. And by that I mean, it all sounds good and well on Sunday morning at about 9:10, doesn't it? We walk out of here, and as husbands and wives, there's decisions to make, there's challenges, there's children to raise, money to be spent, there's an activity, there's activities, there's in-laws to relate to. And those are the places where the rubber hits the road, where husbands and wives often play out this particular struggle with our money, with our time, with our activities, with the choices and chores and relationships, or as we laugh about in our marriage, when I'm driving into the parking lot, Crystal will tell me where to park. And, you know, okay, dear, wherever. I understand that's not an uncommon thing between husbands and wives, true? Point being, it's easier said than done. We know husbands do not always love their wives the way Christ loved the church. And we know that wives don't always receive respect and respond to their husband's love as the church does to Jesus. The beauty of this passage is that it gives us a window into what God intends. We're not left to just slog away, to grind our way through our marriage vows until death do us part. We've been called to participate in a glorious, profound, and holy mystery. I remind you of that language, a holy mystery. For God intends marriage to be that living witness to His grace, His beauty, His kindness in this world. And so to that end, I want to close with this prayer, a marriage prayer. I think this got handed out. And again, my words from a couple weeks ago, I recognize that not everyone here is married. This may have been difficult to listen to for the last couple of weeks because of the situation in your own life. I'd like to offer this and point you to that little quote from Martin Luther at the bottom. Lord Jesus, grant that I and my spouse may have a true and understanding love for each other. Grant that we may both be filled with faith and trust. Give us the grace to live with each other in peace and harmony. May we always bear with one another's weaknesses and grow from each other's strengths. Help us to forgive one another's failings and grant us patience, kindness, cheerfulness, and the spirit of placing the well-being of one another ahead of self. May the love that brought us together grow and mature each passing year. Bring us both even closer to you through our love for each other. Let our love grow to perfection through the love of Jesus, in whose name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.